Jesus teaches in the temple. And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Jesus teaches through spiritual discussions. We sanctify any space by engaging in holy conversations wherever we ask or answer questions of a sacred nature. There is the temple of God. We are celebrating Christmas this week and been getting all ready for it during Advent, and then we have the Christmas Eve service and celebrate the Nativity of Christ and the birth of Christ. So when we think about that, we think about the events in Bethlehem and how Joseph and Mary went there for the new tax system was being set up, and so they went there to register, and while they were there, there was no room in the inn on the night that they arrived and the Christ child was born. And so the baby Jesus was born in a stable, in a cave, used for a stable and placed in the manger. And then the angels announced his birth to shepherds while they were working in the field that night and sang glory to God in the highest. And so we continue to echo that angelic chorus today and about God's goodwill that he has toward everybody, and we try to reflect that atmosphere and announcement in our daily conversations, don't we? We carry that message with us. And so then we think about the childhood of Jesus for a couple of weeks here and emphasize a few highlights from that, like the presentation 8 days later when he was presented at the temple, and there was Simeon and Anna who had all their lives been looking for that day to come. And so they got to be blessed extra that day by seeing this baby Jesus and realizing that the Messiah had come and had the opportunity to prophesy and speak the mind and counsel of God over this child. And then next Sunday we'll celebrate Epiphany, when the wise men came from the east and they brought their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and then how the angel appeared to Joseph, warning him to take Jesus back out of there to Egypt, where he stayed for some years and then came back and grew up in Nazareth. So there's not a lot about Jesus' childhood that is in the Bible, which I think in itself is a message for us that, aside from some of these incidents that are lifted up, he grew up in a way that was very similar to how everybody else was growing up in those days. Look at the history of the region and how people grew up in Israel and Egypt and throughout the Middle East, and see that a lot of that would apply to Jesus. But there is an incident that is brought up that we lift up today, which is the last one in the childhood events of Jesus. So we're going to go fast forward, and next week we'll come back to the Epiphany event. He was in the temple, and they had made their pilgrimage there that they did about every year to go to, everybody tried to go there every year to the temple, and so they were there with all the friends and relatives, and there Jesus was in the temple. When Jesus was born, one of the names that was given to him, that he was to be given to him, was Emmanuel. In addition to Jesus, he would be called Emmanuel, that is, God with us. St. John, when he was talking about the coming of Christ and what this meant, he didn't even talk about the Christmas events that we talk about, or the childhood of Jesus. He just said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us, set up housekeeping among us, set up a place to live among us. And in the Bible, at the end of the Bible, where all of this is sort of leading, is towards the whole completion of God's vision and dream. There's the vision of New Jerusalem, where the Bible speaks to us through this imagery of the city of New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, and all the beauty and grandeur there, and all the symbolic imagery that is there to tell us about perfect love and eternal life and of the blessings that God has for us, not only in this world, but in the life of the world to come. And then very explicitly says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. When Jesus is teaching in the temple, we can make a strong connection there, and I'd like to, during the sermon time this morning, for us to make that connection between this vision that God has of dwelling with us and how that he was dwelling with us in the body and person of Jesus, and how he continues to dwell with us and to tabernacle with us in the temple of our own bodies and of our own congregation and relationships, and is for the world the Word of God living among us and through us. When we see Jesus teaching in the temple, we have this story in Luke, and it's got a couple of sides to it. We see that the story itself of Christ, as we have heard it read in the gospel, and how they went there and they worshiped, and then the family left, and Jesus stayed behind and was found asking questions and answering questions and carried on this holy conversation at the temple. There's a human side to that that comes out very clearly that we could elaborate on, but we won't, but we have too much. But I mean, we can all use our imagination and think about how we would feel from the human side about this whole event and about not knowing where the child is and all of this, a lost family member. But there's also then the spiritual side, which is the divine side and the spirituality of God's Son reflected here, and they're all kind of brought together in this person of Jesus. And we see that happening all through the rest of his ministry, don't we? There's a human part of the story, and there's the divine part of the story, and they get all kind of intertwined and mixed together. I think we can look in our own lives and see that continues to happen that way too, doesn't it? It's all kind of mixed together, and one is working with the other. When we think about being in our Father's house, We think about different types of homes or houses, and one of them is the right here. When we think about it spiritually, we're in the Lord's house in the church. But think about it from our family standpoint and the human part. When we think about being in our parents' house, that brings a whole bunch of sights and smells to mind, doesn't it? Imagery that forms there. We're always welcome there. Hopefully we're always welcome in our family's house. We always welcome, as parents, we welcome our children, regardless of what's going on in their lives. And hopefully they feel that same welcome, that if things are great or things are not so great, that they can come home and be at home. And there they have a place of refuge. And there we have. That's what we expect when we go, when we think of our parents' homes as a place of refuge. Amen? It should be, and hopefully is, and it's our job from a parental side to make it that, to make it a safe, warm, loving environment that the children can step into and step out of all of the trouble and harm and fear and problems of the world around them. They can come home and they'll be safe, and everything will be okay. And so then, as that kind of a place becomes a place of orientation, where we get our bearings, and that's how home is, really. We go home, we get our sense of bearing, we kind of get an orientation to the world around us and to life, and then we come out and go on with our lives. That's part of what that application is when we think of this place here, the church, or any church, as the house of the Lord. It's not a place where God is confined to by any means, right? He's not confined to, the space would be too little. Even the temple at Jerusalem where Jesus was here, when David was just thinking about it, building that temple, remember what God said? How are you going to build me a house that I can fit into when heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, and you think you're going to build me up, some stones and stack up, build them up into a box and put me in there? It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. Even though sometimes we might think that we have built a box for God to live in, He's not going to be squished into it. It's not going to work. And if we think that He is stuck in that place, then we know that we're just kidding ourselves. The house of the Lord is a home in the sense that our family home is a house for our family to come into and to seek that same refuge, to be a sanctuary from the world, where we come in here and we don't, it's not that we leave behind everything in the world, but we just put them in a whole different type of space. We bring all of our cares and concerns and troubles in here, and we lay them out on symbolically on this altar, but we lay them out on the altar of our hearts and in our mind. We just spread it all out before the Lord and let the Lord shuffle it around and help us to look at it in a different light and help us to see it from a different perspective, from one that is filled with spiritual imagery of the Scripture and all the words and promises of God and the fellowship of each other, of believers who have confidence in what God is doing. And in that sense, a sanctuary where we come in out of the rest and just look at it all from a whole different perspective. Well, then that gives us inspiration, a sense of direction, a new orientation on life, so that when we go back outside to deal with these same challenges and struggles and joys and problems and work and whatever it is, that we're going at it from a different angle. We're going at it from a different perspective. We've got a new sense of purpose and vision as we walk out the door this morning, having been together in the house of the Lord, receiving His comfort and His encouragement and His guidance. One of my favorite passages, besides the one I just read there that has to do with this dwelling place, is in John 14, when Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions," or dwelling places. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, well, I'm going to come back and get you and bring you into that dwelling place. That's your place that I'm going to fix for you." It's our eternal dwelling place that He had in mind as He was saying these words. It's the heaven that He has in mind for us, the vision and goal that He has in mind for us, and that is a place of perfect sanctuary, perfect peace, perfect love, a place where all of what His vision has been working towards and all that we have been a part of as we've been working through everything that we've been working through together or as individuals and families, all is brought to its ultimate fulfillment in Christ, in this eternal dwelling place of heaven. Which takes it on into a more of a spiritual house, doesn't it? We think of really in a spiritual house. Toward the end of His ministry, actually the last week of His ministry, as He and some of His disciples were walking around this same temple 33 years later, as they were, Jesus anyway was realizing this was His last week in this type of ministry before He'd move into a different type of ministry, then they were walking around this temple, and they were talking and they were admiring the structures that had been rebuilt a couple of times and all the beauty that was there. He mentioned in response to everybody's admiration of the physical temple, and He said, "If you tear down this temple, then in 3 days I will build it back up." And everybody wondered what He was talking about and started a lot of discussions around that, as we read in the Bible and all. But then, as the disciples reflected back on it, they put in parentheses, as they wrote about it later, they put it in parentheses, "He spake of His body." He spake of His body. It takes us right back to that incarnation moment, doesn't it? Where Christ is Emmanuel, the Logos, the Word of God, made flesh, tabernacling among us, being a temple among us, dwelling among us. St. Paul will later write in several different ways, but one particularly said, "You are the body of Christ and members in particular." And he's talking about the spiritual gifts and how that we're like a physical body. But he also wrote it just like in a a temple, a building with bricks, like the bricks here, the stones of a building put together, that we're like the bricks or the stones of a building, the components of a building built up as a temple, as a congregation, and as the people of God. We're like that as well. We're the body of Christ. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he said in a rhetorical question, he said, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" What? Don't you know that? And that's why I think that we finally come to in all of this. We fill our thoughts and feelings with the Word of God, and we hear God speaking to us, and we see the imagery that He paints in all of the eloquence of the Scriptures. It all speaks to us that we are the temple. You are a temple, and I am a temple, and we are together the tabernacle of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, dwelling amongst each other, dwelling amongst our family and our friends and our neighbors and our community, reaching out into the world as the temple of God. One of all of our favorite passages of people worldwide is in Psalm 23, and it ends by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This event today invites us to be that temple in which the incarnate Word dwells. And God invites us, as Paul describes, that we hold this treasure in earthen vessels. It's right here in us and with us. A great invitation of Revelation, one of the great invitations of the Scripture, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come in and sup with that person and they with me." Thus we become the temple of the Father, a place for teaching through the holy conversation. In the name of Jesus, amen.